Hi, welcome to Dhamma Threads with Funday Sujata and Leslie Christen, and we're going to be discussing a few verses from the Theragata, verses of the senior monks, which you can read for yourself on Sutta Central. The verse for today is number 2.16, Mahakala. And Mahakala literally means big black. And so the verse itself addresses or concerns a woman who's a big black, but this is a man who's big black, so exactly what the significance of that is, I'm not entirely sure. In any case, let's look at the verses. There's a big black woman who looks like a crow. She broke off thigh bones, first one, then another. She broke off arm bones, first one, then another. She broke off a skull like a curd bowl, and then she assembled them all together and sat down beside them. When an ignorant person builds up attachments, that idiot returns to suffering again and again. So let one who understands not build up attachments. May I never again lie with a broken skull. So, some pretty striking verses here, and we've got black woman, big black woman who looks like a crow. What a great description there. So seems like she's, you know, one of these charnel ground ascetics, perhaps, most likely. I mean, she could be just completely crazy, I guess, I don't know, but in India, usually when someone's like that, they usually turn it into a religion. So probably this is what she's doing, is some religious or ascetic practice. You get all of these body parts, and notice, of course, that she's actually assembling a body from different parts, okay? So she's actually assembling, you know, these aren't just random bones she's picking, right? It's arm bones, two arm bones, two leg bones, a skull and so on. So she's like doing a Frankenstein, really, with all the different bones from different people and assembling them as one. And then she puts them all together and sits down beside them. The verse doesn't tell us why she's doing this or what's happening. It could be that she's doing some kind of black magic ritual. It could also be that she's doing a contemplation, understanding the nature of death and rebirth and so on. Obviously, the voice of the verse, right, the perspective from which the verse is spoken, is taking that latter perspective, right, to reflect on it and use it as an opportunity for contemplation. It's quite nicely constructed, because we have that first verse giving a very strong imagery of that woman sitting down with the skeleton in the charnel ground, and then the next verse sort of starts out, doesn't sound like it's really got any connection with that. It just talks of general Dhamma teaching, that an ignorant person builds up attachments, they return to suffering, so you shouldn't build up attachments. And it's only when you get to the last line that it sort of returns it again and says, may I never again lie with a broken skull. So there's actually that the connection is there all along. And so in the traditional instructions for this kind of meditation, the charnel ground meditation, it always has this ajata bahidha, internally and externally, in oneself and for others, right? So seeing that skull, then you reflect, yeah, I am evang dhammo, evang bhavo, etang anatito ti, this body too, I am piko kayo, is of that same nature, that same state, and it will not go beyond that. So you reflect on yourself, your own body, as being the same nature. So they're obviously looking at that skull and thinking, okay, I don't want to be there again. So what do you think, Leslie? How was your reaction to this verse?
Yes, well, the initial image is very tough, isn't it? Yeah. The notion of breaking off is, it kind of, if one wants to see Buddhism in an aesthetic sense, this is a kind of, again, a bit of a shocking image.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you get to the final verse, of course, you see the role of this shocking image is to point out our impermanence, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
In a fairly striking manner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that this will be your future, to be this broken skull again and again and again, unless you stop being a bit of an idiot.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So,
And I mean, that kind of imagery is you know, you find it around the place in the Buddhist traditions. You know, there's the Tibetan images with the kind of the skulls hanging off them, these kinds of things. And so, yeah, you know, that is there, but it's, you know, it's not, it's not overdone. You know, it's always done within a context that shows it actually has a meaning. It's not just gore for the sake of gore.
It's like my experience of poetry, you know, that ideas are introduced and then there is that final connection that sort of places that those images into the context of the idea. I like that.
Yeah, there's a bit of, even though it's only two verses, there's a bit of kind of narrative tension in there. Yeah, it's kind of one and then deviates and then draws it back around. So it's quite skillfully put together.
Yeah.
Is this verse, apart from the sort of literary and contemplative aspects of it, is also has a historical interest. This kind of child ground asceticism is quite common in contemporary India.
Okay.
And it obviously has, you know, a history, but it's contested about how far that history goes, and there's no huge evidence within the Brahmanical scriptures that this kind of thing was actually done in the time of the Buddha. And some historians argue that it's a more recent phenomenon, whereas others argue on the basis of these verses and a few other verses and mentions that are similar in Buddhist texts, that obviously it was happening, right? There was something happening like that. We can't, you know, really be sure exactly, you know, what they were doing. Was this like a devotion to a particular deity, or, you know, we don't know too much about their practices, but generally it does seem that there was something like that going on. And one of the arguments by Richard Gombrich a number of years ago, he argued that the famous bandit Angulimala was similarly sort of following this kind of sort of charnel ground asceticism.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so thanks very much for spending some time with us, and we look forward to joining you the next time.